In Act 3, Scene 2 of Shakespeare's Richard II, we find this quote: "Not all the water in the rough, rude sea can wash the balm from an anointed king." We began talking 2 weeks ago about the meaning of that word, anoint. And we saw that Jesus is the anointed one in the sense that he was sent, anointed by God, to be the one to heal those who were brokenhearted by sin. Today we examine kind of another facet of the same diamond. Another reason why we need to flee to the anointed one is because what he offers us is so wonderful. Jesus was anointed to reverse our suffering. This part of Isaiah chapter 61 is so beautiful that many consider it one of the most beautiful expressions of the gospel in all of Scripture. Jesus was anointed to do what? To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus gives us beauty for ashes. 4 weeks from Wednesday will be the start of a brand new season in the church year, the season of Lent, and it begins on what day? Ash Wednesday. That's because ashes have historically served as a symbol of repentance. People in Bible times would sometimes put ashes upon their head and wear rough sackcloth on their body as a way to show sorrow over sin. And it's appropriate when you think about it because ashes are dark, and so is our sin. The temptations of the devil, the world, and our flesh bring that darkness of sin into our lives, combating and competing with the light of the gospel. Ashes are bitter, and so is our sin. The temptation to sin always seems so sweet and so attractive at first, so cold and bitter and painful in the end. Sin causes so much suffering in the world and in our lives as well. But Jesus was anointed to reverse your suffering, to console you in your mourning, to take away your ashes and give you beauty in return. There's an interesting word play here in this text, by the way, because the Hebrew word for ashes, if you rearrange the letters, spells joy and beauty. And that's appropriate, for with his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus wonderfully rearranges our lives. He takes the ashes off our brow and places there a beautiful victor's wreath instead. The Apostle Paul said, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." What an incredible reversal of fortune for us sinners. Jesus was anointed to bring us the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness, do you understand that language? Have you felt that in your life? What a heavy garment is that spotted garment of our own flesh, of our sin, and of our own wretched works. How unattractive and depressing it is. It's stained and soiled by sin. It smells bad. It's heavy and repulsive and weighs on our spirits. And how unfit a garment that is in which for us to appear before our holy, holy, holy God. But our Lord Jesus invites us to take off that disgusting garment of sin, to lay it at the foot of his cross in repentance. In exchange, he bids us take upon ourselves the pure white robe of his righteousness. By trusting in Christ, the anointed one, his righteousness becomes your righteousness. And your spirit of heaviness is traded for a spirit of beauty and joy and peace. You can almost hear the joy vibrating in Isaiah's voice when he says a little later on in verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Yes, Jesus is the anointed one. And notice finally the reason for all of this. It's all about God, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So many churches nowadays focus on what? They focus on you, the person in the pew, their theology, their preaching, their teaching, their programs. It's all about you, about satisfying your felt needs and your likes and dislikes. They put a rock band where the altar should be and a coffee shop in the narthex. Are you comfy yet? Because it's all about you. Or is it? Is that really what Christianity is all about? Not according to Scripture. The Bible says that this whole wonderful plan of God, the plan that saves you and transforms every aspect of your life, it's all about God, that he may be glorified. It's about him, not you. Oh, it'll impact you, all right. It's going to change your life in ways that you never imagined. But it's all about God. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify you, pat you on the back, make you happy and successful and rich, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You already believe in the Anointed One. Your feet are already on the path of life. Now your task is, by any means possible, to bring others along with you to eternal life. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Ambrose Bierce was a Union general in the American Civil War. He also happened to be an author and a rather sharp-tongued critic, and one thing he did not like was kings. He wrote a satirical dictionary in which he gave this definition for the word anoint. Anoint, a verb meaning to grease a king or other great functionary who is already sufficiently slippery. Well, I think our definition would be slightly different, wouldn't it? Especially now that we understand the central role that anointing plays in our lives. Not the anointing of earthly rulers or politicians, but the anointing of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. During this Epiphany season, our Heavenly Father reminds us that Jesus is God's anointed one, anointed to heal the brokenhearted, anointed to reverse our suffering. God grant that we may ever praise and serve the Anointed One, our Savior Jesus. Amen. We'll conclude this morning with stanzas 1 and 2 of hymn 59.